Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why UnitedHealthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Hello, welcome to Film Fandango, the film podcast. My name is David Reed, and joining me as ever is Mr. Marek Larwood. Hello, Marek.
Hello, David. Hello, listeners.
Are you well? Have you had a good week?
I'm quite tired.
Okay.
As I have been away doing this 48-hour sci-fi film challenge. I've just shown you.
Yes,
the film we made, and I will put it on our, I think it's on our Facebook, the Film Fandango Facebook page. What is this thing? Basically, you get 48 hours and you get given a title, a prop and a line which have to be included in the script. But it's quite...
What was your line?
It was, those two things should not be mixed.
Those two... Oh, well, that features very highly.
Yes, I mean, we based it around it.
That's
I mean, you've
good.
You've done this thing before.
I've done it a couple of times, yeah. The first one was one called Recovery Time, where... We had a very specific line of dialogue we had to put in, which was, what are you expecting us to do? Knit our way out of here.
Oh, wow.
Which not only makes a very specific situation, but very specific tone as well. I mean, that's basically now nonsense, isn't it? Like,
yeah.
So we made a very stupid thing about, which I still maintain is a good idea for a comedy thing, and given more time, we could make it better. But it was about the physiological effects of time travel. So it was me and Humphrey Carr as sort of Top Gun-esque super brave soldiers being sent back through time. And then we just vomited milk for about 2 minutes.
Oh, that's the one where you got your infections from vomiting
milk. That was the 48-hour one. And we did another one called Run Towards Them, which was a little more serious. But it's great fun. Really good. It's tiring, though. I mean...
The edit's hard. I mean, what's really good is you can look on YouTube or Vimeo, which is the Ponce's YouTube website, and put 48-hour sci-fi London 48-hour film challenge and see just a wealth of weird stuff.
Yeah.
And some people obviously put loads of time into it and look like they may have cheated by preparing it beforehand and just...
Yeah, there's always a bit of that. But, no, when you can see when people have done it properly...
Yeah,
because as you say, it's sort of woven into the fabric of it. It couldn't exist without the suggestions.
Yeah, but it's quite an exciting thing to do.
It is, and I think they've had some winners that have gone on to actually do quite well.
Yeah, director of Rogue One.
That's right.
Gareth Edwards.
That's right.
He won it in 2009 or something.
I think that was the year we did ours. So his won it that year. I mean, when you
otherwise you would have
when you watch his entry, it's like. Yeah, no, fair enough. That's a film. That's an actual film.
If you'd have won it, you could have been directing Star Wars.
And there would have been a lot more milk vomiting.
Yeah. And then, and I would be presenting Gareth with Film Fandango with Gareth Edwards.
Yeah, you would be. You would be. And it would have been the Death Star's early prototype ray that makes people vomit.
That would be good, wouldn't it? Milk wars.
Only the droid is immune. Yeah, it'd be fun. No, it's good fun. John Landis is a patron of it, isn't it?
Oh, is he?
Yeah, I think so. It's good fun. Everyone should do it.
I think there's a science fiction festival in London that is at the end of May. If you go to Sci-Fi London, put that into Google, and you can go and watch some new science fiction films if you're into that stuff.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not especially.
Before we start, we should say that this week we are sponsored by HerFilmProject.com. What they do is they promote diversity in filmmaking. So if you are interested in what they do, then go to HerFilmProject.com or follow at HerFilmProject on Twitter. I mean, you're quite diverse, aren't you, Marek?
Yes. So,
that you're a minority.
What do you mean?
Well, you don't get much work.
Yeah. So I should should be sponsored.
Yeah, really. And you are. I mean, that is what's happening here.
Oh, it's all worked out well.
Yeah,
then.
It's all worked out well. So her film project's already doing great work for the undervalued.
Oh, that's a relief.
Yeah, and they do more work for other people. It's not just Marek.
Oh, great. Like who?
Well, like me.
Yeah?
I'm doing well out of it.
Most homeless people?
I don't know if most homeless people...
A minority of homeless people.
Their feature films are being funded by this, so that's good.
If you want to watch a film,
yeah,
by someone who smells,
oh,
go to her film project, right?
Well, they do smell, I guess. I think that's probably fair.
I'm not saying homeless people.
Anyone who smells.
Yeah.
Oh right. Okay. I don't think that's a focus of the project.
That would be a minority, though, wouldn't it?
Well, I don't know. That's an interesting question, right? Do a minority of people smell?
Well,
I think most people smell a bit of something.
Well, I don't know anymore.
How many people have you smelled today?
Not enough.
Well, then you're woefully unprepared for this conversation.
Not enough to
you
make.
You haven't done the research.
Yeah, I need you to do at least more than three to be able to comment on it.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Yeah.
All right. Let's get on with it then.
Let's get on with it.
I did go to cinema.
Did you now? And what did you go to see?
I went to see... Oh, Get Out!
Is that how it's pronounced?
There's no O in front of it. No. Oh, Get Out!
Get Out!
What would you think that would be about if I just said that?
I think it would be a sort of Cockney film about throwing some Russian gangsters out of your East End pub.
Oh, the way I was doing it was that the dog's gone into the butcher's and got some sausages.
Oh, Get Out!
Get Out! Or it's a uncle keeps on putting his hand down the front of your trousers.
Get out! No, that'd be Get Off, wouldn't it?
Well, he's already put them down.
Get Off. Okay.
They're already in there.
Would you say out from your trousers?
Pants then, top of pants.
Get out of my pants. Yeah. That's right, isn't it? Get off of my dick, get out of my pants. That song by...
Get
into my car. Get out of my pants.
There we go. So what is it about? First of all, I should apologise for the coughing. So it's directed by Jordan Peele, who many of you will know is part of the double act Key and Peele, who did all this stuff on Saturday Night Live, but
had their own sketch show in America.
Yeah, they also appear in things like Fargo and make quite a lot of film.
They made Keanu that I've talked about previously.
Yeah. So it's very much comedy background, and I think their stuff is really good. They make, I think, yeah, they're really, really funny, really talented. So this is his foray into, well, he directed stuff before. The thing about Film Fandango is it's always good that we do absolutely no research.
Yes, it's
before
it gives it an authentic feel, doesn't it?
You think this is happening right now?
We are not intimidating. We're not intimidating presences.
No. So this is his first foray into directing, I think.
I believe that's true, yes.
And a different stylistic path.
Why did you say path quite like that? Path!
Because I wasn't sure if the sentence construction was right, so I thought I'd try and distract people by over-accentuating the word path. So
I've not noticed these tricks you employed before.
They weren't noticed that. That sentence makes no sense.
Okay, so Get Out. This is a film that everyone said is very, very good and everyone should go and see. I know almost nothing about it other than Daniel Kaluuya plays a...
The postman's arrived.
The postman's arrived. There we go. Buddy's gone to get the post. Daniel Kaluuya plays a man going to visit his girlfriend's family. That's all I know. But it's a horror film, potentially, as well.
Now, yeah.
And it's about race relations in America, right?
I saw the trailer... I thought, and from what I've read, there's a massive hype around this film.
Yes.
People were saying it's one of the... I think on Rotten Tomatoes it had a really high score, 99.
Yes.
And it's currently number 227 or something like that in the best films of all time.
Wow.
But I thought the trailer and what I was expecting sort of really affected the way I saw the film.
Okay.
And not that it was overhyped, but I thought it was going to be a massive social comment on race in a horror format.
Right.
And I don't necessarily think it is.
Okay.
I think that's a way of them saying this is. It doesn't really, for me, say anything. That is got. Obviously, there are some ramifications of it, but not. It's not a huge.
Okay. That's so it's not that heavy hitting as a satire. You don't.
Yes, I didn't think it. Yeah.
Does it work as a horror film?
It's. I came out of it. I give between 7 and 8 Marricks.
Okay.
And it's really good. Daniel Kaluuya is good. Bradley Whitford, who
I love Bradley Whitford.
He's always great.
Bradley Whitford, if you don't know, played Josh in The West Wing, and then he was also in Cabin in the Woods, and he crops up in lots of different things.
Good.
But he's very charming man.
Alison Williams and Catherine Keener are also in it. Also excellent.
yeah, Alison Williams from Girls.
Yes.
Yeah.
And so it's the cast are really great, but I just thought this feels like it's good. And then I was trying to think about what I was going to say about it on the way here. There's no real gripping scene.
Okay.
You know, we talked about recently, things like Manchester by the Sea.
Yeah, that's the one that sticks with you, that moment that sticks with you.
Yeah,
yeah.
And in other films, there are. I rewatched Whiplash recently, and the end of it, the whole drum sequence at the end. But there's a few scenes in there which are really iconic, classic scenes.
Yeah. Something with a bit of showmanship in it, like you go, this is what it's all been about.
Yeah. I thought this was good, consistently good all the way through, but there was nothing that really made me think, wow, that's the great moment. It's almost like watching a film and you're permanently on 7 all the way through.
Okay.
Whereas a lot of films you watch and you might go, that's a 10 moment, no, that's a 2 moment, it just feels consistently good all the way through. It's a weird way to describe the film. But I think I've got high hopes from the future stuff he directs. But I just think I thought it was going to be a bit more biting and a bit more incisive than it was. I don't know.
How cinematic is it?
It looks good. It looks great. I mean, but there's just nothing overly spectacular. It's just a good, solid thriller, horror, with a very different backdrop.
Okay.
A bit like Tales of the Unexpected type thing, really.
Okay.
And I really enjoyed it. So that's what I have to say. I mean, it's difficult to. I can't really give anything about it.
I'm appreciating the fact you're not, because I don't really want to know any more than that. You know, it's one of those that it feels like what part of the enjoyment is going to be not knowing where this is headed.
Yeah, I mean that's the whole thing. I think once you know what's happening with it, that's the whole film. So I can't really say that, and that's the key moment. But he's just basically Daniel Kaluuya is the black boyfriend of Alison Williams, and he's really sort of reticent about going to visit their family in their posh American sort of really white village. And he talks to his friend who's a security guard, sort of policeman, who's saying, you know, what's going on and how uncomfortable he feels and how certain weird things happen, and it just puts him off, you know, off guard.
Yeah, yeah.
But it is a very interesting film, so I would recommend definitely going to the cinema to watch this. You're in safe hands.
Right, well, I think it's time for this.
Here's a letter.
Yeah.
It is from Jack Stewart, who accidentally sent it to the wrong email address and has resent it.
What email address did he send it to?
I don't know.
Filmfandango@gmail.com. Nope. Don't know who that is, but it's not us.
So it's Dear Film Fandango.
DearFilmFandango@gmail.com. Although the easier way is to go to filmfandango.com and just fill in the box. And that way you can look at all of our other stuff.
Like pictures.
Pictures. That's it. Okay, Jack says, Dear David Marek, Buddy, the prick dog from next door, Danielle, Appleyard, Webb, and all fellow Fandanglers. I'm currently in Vietnam. So please read this out in a Vietnamese accent. Oh, shit. What's a Vietnamese accent?
Oh, I mean, there's no good way of doing this.
There's only a racist one of, you know,
It's just
we love you long time.
I've only got the same one.
Yeah, I'm just going to read it in my accent. This okay. Vietnamese man has gotten very good English.
He's Vietnamese.
I am.
But that bloke isn't. He's writing in.
No. But I'm doing it in a Vietnamese man's accent.
All right. Okay.
I just listened to Marek's review of Train to Busan and heard that he hadn't seen many Korean films before. I'd highly recommend Castaway on the Moon, but I have a crazy feeling that I've recommended it before and Marek might have watched it. If not, it's a hugely imaginative and funny take on the desert survival genre. It's closest in tone to Swiss Army Man and has a decent helping of fart gags. The premise: a man tries to commit suicide by hurling himself off a bridge, but wakes up stranded on an island having survived the fall. That is brilliant. See? Funny already. You'll both enjoy it. In regards to Train to Busan, I'm currently travelling around Asia on my own in the middle of something of a midlife crisis. Pleasingly, this allows me to watch Train to Busan on a train. To Busan!
Wow.
Have you or any of your listeners ever watched a film in similar circumstances before? Perhaps you watched Sleepless in Seattle when you were... You get the idea. Apologies for the rambling email, Key. Watching the films. P.S. Wild Bill is good. P.P.S. Please tell Gemma Whelan that I love her and that she should be the new Doctor Who. Fine, I will. Thank you, Jack. Have you ever watched a film in the place where the film... I tell you what I have done. I did a couple of times fan event at Doon Castle in Scotland, where they filmed Monty Python the Holy Grail, and that one castle doubled as nearly all of the castles that they just lit it differently and used different rooms. But we did a Python event where I played King Arthur and we did the actual swallows and non-migratory stuff between the ground and someone actually on the ramparts doing the Frenchman, and then they showed Holy Grail in the courtyard when it had got dark.
Oh, great.
So it was very nice. Carol Cleveland was there.
Yeah.
That was fun, though, actually doing it in the location.
Yeah.
It's all good.
When I first moved to London, I lived in Westbourne Park, and they were filming Notting Hill on Portobello Road.
Right.
This is like 99, I think, 2000. So I went to watch Notting Hill, I've said this before, in the cinema, where they filmed the cinema scene.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Julia Roberts. So it's quite weird seeing the point of view of the screen, and then you see the screen, actual screen around it. So you're actually doing the same activity.
Yeah.
As someone in the
yeah,
film.
Yeah, that is strange. A friend of mine, I forget what the film was, it's only a vague memory I've got now, but a friend of mine was watching a film which had a chase scene, and the chase scene went past the cinema they were all sat in. Which is a weird feeling of just going, hang on, that's where we are. Yeah.
That's great, though.
It's fun, though, isn't it?
Let's see what else we've got. Lots of people been writing in. How do people contact us, then?
If people want to contact Film Fandango, they can go to filmfandango.com and click on the contact form. Anything you send there will be sent to our email address, and we'll be able to read it out on the programme. The person who writes the best letter will receive £44,000.
Oh, guess what? Here's a letter.
What?
From guess who?
What, the board game?
No. A person.
Oh, thank God. Is it Chris West?
Yes, it is.
Good.
Do you want to read it?
Yeah. Chris writes, "Dear David, Marek, Buddy, and all assorted fandanglers, recently we had family movie time, a few DVDs on a rainy day. We chose wisely from the Toy Story trilogy. At the end, my six-year-old daughter asked me an interesting question. No, not Dad, why the hell are you crying? Instead, she said, did Andy's dad leave or is he dead? I've seen these films many times, but it had never occurred to me until that point that Andy was in a single-parent family. So my question to you is, can you think of a similar penny drops moment where you realise something fairly obvious in a film that you hadn't noticed before? A recent example mentioned on the show was noticing Danny DeVito is in One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest. If you're interested, I told her Andy's dad was dead. She loves that kind of thing. Film recommendation. I saw Flame and Citron at the New Zealand International Film Festival and loved it. It's a great action drama about the resistance movement in Copenhagen during World War II that pisses all over the preposterous Inglourious Basterds, which came out around the same time. It stars Mads Mikkelsen as a Nazi smasher. What else do you need? I think David will like it for its action and Marek for the subtitles. I have no idea what streaming services it's on, but it's bound to be out there somewhere and is well worth seeking out. And a bad film. I was listening to a rival movie podcast recently.
What? Chris Webb? What are you doing, Chris Webb, you asshole?
He goes on to say, I was curious, it meant nothing to me. Where they discuss the 1990 caper comedy Bullseye, directed by the world's greatest filmmaker, Michael Winner. I actually paid money to see this in the cinema when I was a student, but it was so bad I'd blocked it from my memory until being recently reminded of it. In a nutshell, Michael Caine and Roger Moore play dual roles of thieves and nuclear scientists. Imagine the hilarity when they get mistaken for each other. It really is much worse than it sounds. It's on YouTube, but I don't know how legally. Then again, it's so shit, who cares? Anyway, love to you all, and no matter how good, bad, average or unique, keep watching the films. Chris. Well, Chris has actually brought up a good topic there of bad films. Next week, we will be doing our worst films ever podcast special, whatever you want to call it. You've all been emailing us the worst films you've ever seen, so we'll be able to go through this next week. In regards to...
Penny dropping.
I don't know. I don't know if I can recall ever having that experience. It's a good point about Toy Story, though. I've never realised he's only got a mum.
Yeah, I just... It's almost a bit like the Tom and Jerry thing, where you only ever see the feet of the...
Yeah,
The maid.
Yeah, sort of. The housekeeper.
Yeah, so that's... And that felt to me a bit like that was... A nodding to that in Toy Story.
Possibly. You do see her face and everything, of course, but yeah.
Do you see her face?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I blocked it out.
You blocked it out. yeah. No, I don't think I've ever had that experience, but I look forward to it when I suddenly realise something.
My brain is too adult to ever work at anything beyond a face value now.
Oh, well, that's a shame.
It is a shame. One more letter?
You're on your way out. Yeah, go on. Go on, one more letter.
I'm trying to find one that's not about worst films, because we are going to be doing that shortly. Here we go. From Paul Neves.
Mm.
Subject, one word and you're sold. To be read as a French... Read as a Monty Python French soldier from the Holy Grail.
Wow, that's weird. That's what I was just talking about.
Well, I can't be bothered to do that. But hello to Marek. Great sci-fi short film. Oh, thanks, mate. David, love the show. Well, I don't know what show he's talking about.
This one, probably.
Oh, okay. Buddy, Chris, and the other two listeners. While listening to a rival inferior podcast discuss films and mention the negotiator, I was transported back to a friend of mine saying, fancy watching the negotiator? I'm having a real problem with that word.
Yeah.
What's he about? I asked warily. Throat is cleared. He reads from the back of the DVD case.
You are nailing this.
Maverick, I'm in. My question... Sorry, Paul, I've really fucked up your email.
Basically, what Paul is saying is someone read out the back of the DVD, the first word was Maverick, he immediately responded, well, I'm in.
He continues, my question, have you ever agreed to watch a film based on a word or a few words rather than hearing anything more about the movie? Keep watching the films, Paul.
Well, I can't recall that ever happening, but I could read the first word of a couple of DVDs and see if you fancy watching them or not.
That's a really good idea.
Okay, I'll hide them from you.
I mean, this is, I'm sure that people don't make decisions based on one word.
Probably not.
David is now rooting around his archaic DVD collection.
I know. Okay. Don't look.
Not looking.
Okay, which of these do you think you would want to watch?
Why not play it along at home?
Okay. Oh, does this work? Okay. A young woman...
Well, I'm going to say no to that, because if I say yes, then I'll come some sort of sex offender.
Well, no, I mean, you might be interested in the story
of a young
woman.
Well, imagine if someone came round your house and said, I've got a DVD, do you want to watch this? A young woman? Oh, yes, please.
Well, that film was I Spit on Your Grave, so maybe that's the correct decision.
Okay.
Okay, this one. A landmark
Sounds boring.
So is that a yes or a no?
No.
Well, you just turned down ever seeing Chinatown.
Oh, no.
Okay. In?
Yes.
That's Repo, the genetic opera starring Paris Hilton.
Oh, gosh.
Yeah. I've not seen it. It's still in its packaging. And finally, Kurosawa's...
Yes.
Throne of Blood. They know how to do their one,
put,
don't they?
Put a good director's Kurosawa name on the start name.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, that is a good thing, though. So that's for any people there wanting to sell their film in DVD, the now redundant format.
Yeah,
that's a very good point to
yeah, maybe rewrite the labels and print your own out with a better word at the beginning.
When Bumming Man gets released,
yeah, what will the first word be on the back?
Oh,
splitting.
Yeah, or pain, I think.
Pain is no obstacle for Clive Jennings.
Yeah.
A.K.A. the Bumming Man.
Pain is a good one.
It is a good one, isn't it?
Or forcibly. Forcibly is a good one, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah. Squeezed.
Yeah.
Ejected.
Up.
Up. Well, you can just think of lots of words at home. Anyway, let's go talk about films. You've seen a film, haven't you?
Yeah, I have. I've also seen a film this week. I saw one that the trailer looked very interesting of, and I caught on streaming services, which I think it may have had simultaneous release. It's not a massive film, but it is one that's getting a bit of buzz online. Now, this one is called The Love Witch. Have you heard about this?
No.
Well, The Love Witch... It was made last year, 2016, but it's only just sort of come out. And it's an almost perfect reproduction of 1960s exploitation. It is filmed in Technicolor. It's not filmed with modern cameras.
Okay.
And it is about a young girl who is a witch looking for love, and she keeps casting love potions to make men fall for her. And then they all inevitably end up dead. But it is a very... It's filmed in that stilted, slightly odd, almost kung fu movie-esque style of acting and dialogue. And everything's incredibly hyper-real in terms of the colours and everything. And it's a perfect reproduction of 1960s stuff, basically.
Why did you pick this film, then?
The trailer made it look interesting, at least. It made it look like... It wasn't like other films, and it could have been a bit strange, a bit like Suspiria or what's it called? Beyond the Valley of the Dolls, or one of those. You know, it felt like it had good influences.
Is it so? It's funny, is it?
Well, that gets into my review of it. Which it's by a writer director called Anna Biller, who did all of the costume design and everything herself. She's actually done two films a bit like this before, one called Viva and one called A Visit from the Incubus, but which again are in that very 1960s style and all the blah, blah, blah. And so it's an interesting thing to sit down and watch. You go, oh, where's this going? Where's blah, blah, blah. Now, watching stilted dialogue that's intentionally stilted, performed by people doing it intentionally badly, I think is a very difficult balancing act to play. I think Greasy Strangler does it perfectly, and actually is probably a better contender for homaging exploitation movies than this is. I'm afraid, for all it gets the look of it, perfect. It's absolutely perfect. You know, they've even thrown in a couple of things, like there's a modern BMW in it at one point, and someone gets out a mobile phone at one point, just to sort of throw you that this has actually been made now. It's not a film from the 1960s. Okay. Everything else is so perfectly done. The art direction is absolutely stunning. It is, however, one of the most boring films I've ever seen in my life.
Oh, really? It's got a good IMDb score.
Yeah,
82.
I cannot get it. I cannot understand what anyone sees in this. It's turgid. Nothing interesting happens. It just ploughs on doing the same old duff thing. It's not
Style over substance.
Completely. It doesn't do anything interesting. It's nowhere near as weird as it thinks it is or deserves to be. Its dialogue verges from the intentionally shit to what feels like a 13-year-old's essay about witchcraft. Like, it feels like, rather than knowing that its subject matter is preposterous and stupid, you know, like Buffy the Vampire Slayer would with magic, this seems to think it's all kind of cool and awesome. And it, I think its biggest crime for what is really supposed to be...
burglary.
Its biggest crime is burglary. No, its biggest crime for something that's supposed to be an homage to exploitation and horror of the 60s is there is... it has no tension at all. And that for me, for a thriller like this is supposed to be, is... well, you failed, haven't you? Yeah. If there's no tension and it never actually... builds anything, it just sort of ploughs on to the end. It's a great shame, I think, because the director clearly has a flair for the visual. Like, it's all there. But it felt like a sort of an art student's experiment who was very good at one thing but still wanted to do all of the other things as well because they're a bit of a control freak.
Taking on too much.
Yeah, so...
a failed auteur.
Well, I think so. Lots of people have said they enjoyed it, but I cannot understand what they see in it that they've enjoyed. I was monumentally bored.
How many dailies did you give it?
Oh, 3?
Pretty bad.
Yeah, I mean, it's a crime, you know.
The burglary.
It's been... I've given it less than others would, potentially because of the wasted potential as well. That, you know, it looked so interesting and cool to do something like this rather than like everyone else is doing, of, you know, just as HD and glossy as possible. This is a very, very specific style and look, and it feels like just trying to recreate films they love, that the author of this loved, but without any imagination or flair for storytelling.
There's only so long you can watch something that looks amazing for before you just go back to stories.
And I'm afraid it just isn't funny. Like, it's just not funny. Like, it's not strange enough. It's not quirky enough. It's not good enough. That's my take on it. I actually enjoyed Black Dynamite more.
Bin it.
Been the Love Witch. Lots of people, my friends included, on Facebook have been saying how much they enjoyed it, but it's not
bunch
for me.
Of ponces.
Don't get it. Don't
your
get
mates
it.
Are your friends are dickheads.
Well, especially that when you're evoking the psychedelic era.
Did you unfriend them?
No, I haven't done. They're all older than me. I wonder if that's it, because I wonder if it, well, not that they lived through the 60s, but I don't know. Maybe it had a more sort of recent retro appeal in their childhoods than it did in mine.
You unfollow them so you can still be friends, but you do no longer
I muted to, them I muted you them no longer, so they don't know we're yeah, no longer
you no
friends.
Longer have to actually have any input or that's realise right. they're alive
that's right
without hurting their feelings.
I can't understand how you do a film about magic from the potentially psychedelic era and not be fucking weird in your final act. I don't get how that would be your decision. It's a
damning review.
Yeah, I'm afraid so. I mean, it has great potential, and for me was a snore fest.
Oh.
I'm quite disappointed, really, because I was looking forward to it. It looked like I'd found something that people weren't talking about that was going to be really different and cool. No, just a bit duff.
Oh, I'm sorry.
That's all right, Marek. It's not your fault.
Well, I don't know. I feel responsible for these things.
Well, you always feel that way, don't you? I mean, you're a very empathetic person.
Yes. Well, that's about it, isn't it?
Yeah, I think that's it for this week. We will be back next week to do our worst films of all time special. I'm afraid we are going to be pre-recording it, so you do not email in with your...
You can, we'll talk about them another time.
Okay. Yeah? Okay, fine. Fine, if you want to tell us, you're a bit late to the party, but come on in. There's still some beers at the back of the fridge, I think.
Yeah.
And that address, again, if you'd like to write to us, is filmfandango.com. and you can fill out the form there. Also, apart from the sponsorship we get, we are also doing all of this relatively for free. We are covering costs. So if you'd like to donate towards the podcast, then please, again, go to formfandango.com and click the donate button. Everyone who has, thank you very much. We'll be back next week, won't we, mate?
I hope so.
Yeah. Keep watching the films.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. WarbyParker.com/covered.